I do believe that God has a word for us to consider tonight. Thank you, worship team, for leading us in a wonderful time. I don't think there's been a year that has come and gone that at some point I have not thought this thought. One of these days, Jesus is going to come, and that will be it. One day, suddenly, just like that, in a blink, he'll be here. And all that we have been talking about, someday, will no longer be someday. It will be a new experience. Have you ever thought about that? Think about that any time, and this is not to generate any kind of fear in the lives of people and cause them to feel insecure in their relationship with God, but the Word of God is very clear that we need to depart from evil, depart from wicked thoughts and actions and attitudes and stuff like that. One, because we want to be of service in the house of God, but most primarily because of his return, that the people who have a hope that Jesus is going to come again need to act different. Because really, at any time, while you are awake, while you are asleep, any time, think of any time, somebody may be at that particular time when Jesus comes. It's been the 11th month. And if you were not here this morning, I encourage you to get the message from this morning because it is vital. I want to look at a particular verse in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 1 and verse 11. Acts 1 and verse 11. The Lord Jesus Christ had just been caught up, taken up, and here are his disciples awestruck at this experience. They're standing there and angels appear to them. And the Word of God says, this angel said this, it says, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus. Somebody say, this same Jesus. Say it again, this same Jesus. Not a different Jesus. This same Jesus. This same Jesus that you've been walking with. This same Jesus that died and rose again from the dead the third day. This same Jesus that walked with you for this past 40 days. This same Jesus. And how many disciples did he have left when he came back the first time? 11. Thank you. 11. Someone say 11. Say it again. 11. This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner. The same way he just left, the same way he's going to come back, as you have seen him go into heaven. Now let's just go a few verses up. And verse 7. They say, they're asking him about the time of the restoration of the kingdom to Israel. And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. It's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. In other words, this question you are asking is not answerable by me. The Father has the answer to this. I cannot give you this answer. But the answer I can give to you is this. You shall receive power. Somebody say power. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. When are you going to receive power? After the Holy Ghost. So if you don't have the Holy Ghost, you cannot have this power. And if you don't have this power, it is because you don't have the what? Holy Ghost. That's a thought. I must have the Holy Ghost. I want the power of God. Really? You want the power of God? Do you have the Holy Ghost? No. Okay, you can't have the power. Jesus said that. And ye shall be witnesses unto me. You shall be witnesses unto who? Unto me. Now, our witness is our daily report. And you're going to give me a daily report every day. When we think about witnessing, we're thinking about talking to somebody about Jesus. Yes, it is that. But more than that, the emphasis is you're going to be witnesses to me, unto me. You're going to be witnesses to me. In other words, you're going to bring a report to me in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and unto the utmost parts of the earth. You're going to bring a report. In other words, daily report. Why? Because God gives us a daily assignment. The return of Jesus is tied to the Good Commission, the Great Commission. Go into all the world and do what? Preach the gospel. Be witnesses unto me, or rather, make disciples, he says, of nations. I want you to impact entire nations, entire communities. How are we going to do that, Lord? I'm going to give to you the Holy Ghost. And when the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you're going to have an empowering grace upon your life. The dynamic power of God. An explosive grace is going to come upon your life, and you're going to be witnesses unto me. You're going to bring a report back to me, and you're going to do that locally and globally. Amen? Every disciple of the Lord, every one of us has a global perspective. But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. That is in verse 8. That's the number of new beginnings. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. That's how they saw him leave. A cloud received him out of their sight. He just took up. And they're looking. And it keeps on going. And they're looking. You know the amazing thing about it? If I were them, I would be thinking, maybe he's going to throw down a mantle. And we're just going to be like Elisha to Elijah. Something's going to happen. But the reason they were gazing is their hopes just got shattered. They're expecting Jesus, who came back from the dead, to continue with them. And he's talking about all this stuff, and they are not computing it. He's received and he's out of their sight. Do they go home? No. They keep on looking. Wouldn't you? But their assignment was to go and preach the gospel, not to keep staring and gazing. It was about them going and touching their local community and a global community. But now they've just heard him say, you are going to receive power after the Holy Ghost comes upon you. Wait a minute, we've been with Jesus all these years. And we have cast out demons. We came back and reported back to him and said, even the demons were subject unto us. What power could he possibly be talking about? It is the power to go past your local community and impact the world. Are you listening? Even Jesus said, I'm not sent to you Gentiles. And he would stretch his hand and touch somebody, or somebody would touch him. But he stayed very limited. But he was going to use these disciples to do something that he had not done. He said, I was sent to the household of Israel. But we know that he is the Son of God. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He's there. He came to reach the entire world, but he put everything in order. Now, think about this for a moment. How orderly is this? You have all these disciples who preach one message, and all of them leave you. They all left. Because he says, you got to eat my body and drink my blood. And they all say, no, we're not going to be cannibals. Forget you, man. And they left. And the Bible says they never returned back. They never came back. He turns to the 12 and says, what are you guys still doing here? Why aren't you all gone? Wait a minute, Jesus, you're supposed to be here to gather people. He's not just here to gather people for gathering's sake. Get that point. He's not here just to gather people for gathering's sake. He wants people that are sold out to him. The question you and I need to ask ourselves is this: am I sold out to him? Am I committed to the living God? Do I really truly believe that, yes, this one who died, rose again from the dead, came back to life, ascended and is seated at the right hand of the Father, that he will surely one day come back and has given me the right and the commission to go into the world and preach this gospel and see lives changed and transformed, no matter what the situation is, that I have been commissioned with an assignment? Or am I busy gazing at the TV? Gazing at the cars running down the street? Gazing at the computer? What am I gazing at? What's your gaze focused on? These men, the Bible says, and while they looked steadfastly towards heaven. So I say they looked steadfastly towards heaven as he went up. As he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? Now, they are steadfast looking up into the heavens. Yes? True? That's what the word of God said. And they are rebuked for doing that. So if they're rebuked for looking up into heaven, what are they being told to do? Jesus said, look to the harvest field. Look to the harvest field. It is ripe. It is ready. Don't say tomorrow, next week, next month. Now it's ready, and it's been ready for over 2,000 years. Oh, my city, you don't understand my city, people in my city, they're all going to hell. They're all doing evil things, and God says, that's why I came. I came to deliver people from going to hell. Hell is not for people. Hell is for the devil and his angels. It's not for people. I love people. I want people saved. I want them redeemed. My heartbeat is souls, souls, souls. I need for you to have my heartbeat. I don't want you to be so heavenly minded that you lose sight of the people in the earth. Because one day I am going to come back. Amen. Hallelujah. Your mandate and my mandate is to reach the world. To do everything we can do to impact the world. And if we're going to do so, then we must do like Jesus did. The Bible says he came down the mountain. In Matthew chapter 8, when he came down the mountain, the multitudes followed him. If we are going to reach people, we've got to locate them where they are. We've got to connect with them, not to do what they do, but connect with them so that we can take them up the mountain where Jesus makes his disciples apostles. Hallelujah. But we must first make connection. What do I know about my city? Really? What do you know about this city? What do you know about your city? What do we know about our community? Do we know anything? When did I last speak to a cop and say, you guys go down the streets of this city. You know this city. I'm a pastor or I'm a Christian. How can I pray with you and for you? And exactly what are some issues that are facing this city? Oh, we have a MET issue. Okay. I'm going to focus my attention and begin to pray with the dynamic power that God has given to me to close down the MET labs and cause people to become drug-free in my city. Is that something I can do? What is the issue? Oh, there's a lot of break-ins in this area of the city. Why don't I take up that area of the city, drive around in that particular area, and begin to declare every demonic spirit that's operating in this community. In the name of Jesus Christ, I drive you out. Get out. Get out of this area. You cannot stay here. And you cannot stay in any part of this city. Get out. This place shall not be a place of habitation for you. I declare in Jesus' name that God will move upon this particular area and people will come to salvation in this place in the mighty name of Jesus. Is that something I can do? And I can come to the Lord. Lord, today I went into this area of my city and I declared that the forces of darkness operating in that particular area fall apart, that those strongholds come down and that salvation come to the residents of that particular area. I may not have said one word to anybody yet, but the word of God says, except you bind the strong man, you cannot spoil his house. Yes? Except you bind the strong man. If there's a strong man running in that particular community, we've got to stop it. It's an insult to me that there is a marijuana lab over there, whether legal or no legal or whatever it is. This is not a community for them. Amen? There are businesses that have closed down in this city. Because I went there and said, oh, you're not staying here. Go out and shut it down. I must start shutting down some things around here. Because the enemy always returns to fight you again. But that's when we find out from God, what is it that I'm supposed to do with this business over here that is promoting that? What is it that I'm supposed to do with that net house over there that is doing that? What is it that I'm supposed to do about that house over there where prostitutes are gathering? What is it that I should do over there concerning this? What is it I should do over here concerning that? There is a place over there that is practicing stuff that caters to witchcraft. Lord, what can I do about that? God will show to every one of us what it is we ought to do. Rather than keep on gazing up into heaven, God wants us to look down to the earth and see what's happening around us and what it is that we must do. Why are relationships being torn apart in our community? There is something I'm supposed to do about that. That's why you and I are here, to be a voice, to be a testament of the move of God in this last of the last days. God wants to use my life, and God wants to use your life. But it's not going to happen just because we keep on gazing up to heaven. Yes, we need to gaze up into heaven. But why are you gazing up into heaven when you are already in heaven, seated with Him? And God has commissioned you, your physical body, to do certain things in the earth. Because the only person God can use here is you. It's you. It's me. He can use me at my university. He can use me at my workplace. He can use me wherever I am. You work in the hospital, and somebody is very sick. But they notice that every time you come into that room, there's a peace that comes there. Guess who they will be asking for? I want so and so. Because every time they are here, something happens. There are businesses that you may go to, and every time you come there, an empty business place gets packed out, and every time the practitioner there, the owner of that place sees you, they get excited. Oh, you've come. Now I'm going to have business, because they see the connection. There's got to be a connection between you and me with what is happening in our environment. And it doesn't happen because we're looking up at a Jesus who's caught up. He says He's going to come back. And when He comes back, He is coming to have an account. Every one of us will give an account, and He's going to come with a reward in His hand for every one of us. What am I going to be rewarded for? Am I going to be rewarded for standing and gazing up? Am I going to be rewarded doing something when He says, occupy till I come? Occupy. Take charge. Take control. Give no grounds to the devil. Absolutely no grounds surrender to the devil. Not the grounds of the internet or media, social media or any media. Not the grounds of business. Not the grounds of any aspect of life, of education, politics. No grounds are meant to be surrendered to the devil. Let me say it again. No grounds are meant to be surrendered to the devil. The devil should not have the politics of the land, because we sit down and bury our heads in the sand and think that an ungodly group of people are going to do godly things. When did a pig start acting like sheep? It's not going to happen. And I dare sons and daughters in this house and those listening to me, by the time the next elections come, whether it's local, municipal, school division, There should be people in this house that are running. I don't care. Just get in the race and say, I'm running for council. Say, nobody knows me. God knows you. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm too young. Excuse me? Be the first young person that breaks the rule. We are not going to yield any ground to the devil. Amen? Praise the Lord. Not in business, not in education, not in politics, not in any sphere. Every sphere is supposed to be occupied by sons and daughters of the kingdom of the living God, men and women of influence, because he said, disciple nations. Praise the Lord. I cannot repeat myself. But that's the reality, saints. We must impact our times and our seasons. So, Pastor, you said you were going to preach about the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what I'm still preaching about. Where have you been? Jesus is going to return, but what is he returning to? A bunch of weak, helpless, hopeless crybabies? Or is he going to return to people that are on fire and holding and squeezing the neck of the devil, and the devil says, please, Jesus, come back. These people want to kill me. They are ruining business for me. Well, that's why the two prophets stood up and they started affecting the weather, affecting everything. We are that generation of men and women that will not sell out. Amen? Fierce, filled with purpose, exemplary in every step, in every way. Saying, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in the earth as it is in heaven. Yes. We might not save everyone, but we'll save some. But we'll save none if we do nothing. If we do nothing, nobody comes to salvation. Nobody knows the redemptive power of God. But if we do something, somebody might. The neighborhood that you do not pray for is the neighborhood that the devil will boldly invade. I don't care whether you're in the suburbs or downtown. I don't care whether you're some town way out from the city. Drugs will come to your community if you don't pray for your community. Evil will reign in your community if you don't take possession of that community. And we're not about to give any grounds to the devil. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, secondly, those who are living their lives for God and are reminded of this fact. The Bible says in the book of 2 Timothy, tells us about the times and the seasons that we are living in. 2 Timothy 3. 2 Timothy 3. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce,
despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. They have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof because there's no power of the Holy Ghost operating in their lives. Those who have the Holy Ghost that receive power and are witnesses. Because it's turned from such powerless people. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and leave captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith, but they shall proceed no further. So I say, but they shall proceed no further. He tells us about the times that we're living in. Very perfect description. But it says, right there, on the ninth verse, but they shall proceed no further. Why? For their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. The folly of people that resist the power of God shall be obvious. Jannes and Jambres wiped out. But are they going to wipe out if there is no true manifestation of the presence of God? Because men who have not corrupted themselves, men who have not sold out their spiritual birthrights, are not taking their stand. If we take not our stand, they will continue to proceed. The devil's got to find out that he made a mistake when he came attacking your house. Oh my, did we ever blow it? The underdog has defeated us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch. At Antioch, that's where the first called Christians, Christians. At Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all, the Lord delivered me. How are you going to get delivered from something if you are not in something? God is not saying to us that we are not going to have issues if we stand up for something. He says you're going to have all kinds of issues, but you can be assured of this. I will deliver you from all of them, and I will stop the mouth of the enemy. I will shut them down, because in the name of Jesus Christ, you are standing, and nothing shall be able to stop you when you stand with me. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. If they couldn't stop Jesus, they cannot stop you. For Jesus dieth no more. Glory be to God. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that a man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Thoroughly furnished unto all good works. How are we going to get this? By the word of God. The scriptures help us to be properly furnished unto all good works. Whatever it is that we need to do, your manual is the word of God. Your manual is the word of God. It will show to you what it is that you ought to do, how you need to carry yourself, what you need to say, what you need not say, how to answer the press. Whatever it is that you need, there is wisdom in the word of God for every discipline in life. Therefore, a child of God cannot say, I cannot do this because I have not been trained to do that. No, if you have the word of God, you have the master trainer. You have God on your side. God will instruct you on what you need to do and how you need to do it. We must, listen, everyone is not called to be behind the podium. But there are so many ways that God calls us to preach this gospel. That your presence, whether you're a bus driver or a truck driver or a taxi driver, whatever it is, God has a grace bestowed upon your life that will affect people supernaturally. We are supernatural people. We are not of this world. There's a grace upon our lives that impacts our community. And child of God, I want you to embrace that spiritual truth and endeavor this day and every day to seek Him with all of your heart and to respond to His divine mandate, which is, go preach this gospel. Stop gazing into the heavens. Go preach the gospel. When He comes, I will let you know. This is how I'm going to let you know. There's going to be a blast. There's going to be a trumpet sound. And before you even say, what was that? You'll be caught up like me. And we'll meet in the air. Stop gazing. Keep busy. Is somebody listening? And being faithful does not mean I go to church every Sunday and on Bible studies and on prayer meetings and whenever the door is open and I do this and I do that. All of that is nice and dandy and wonderful and good and keep on doing all of that. But ultimately, you must have this credited to you that you are purposefully, objectively, seeking and desiring for your community to change. And that something impacts the lives of those around you. You don't have to affect everybody one shot. Pick one person. Befriend that one person. That person knows other people that you might not know. You say, how do you eat an elephant? One piece at a time. A piece at a time. Pray for the entire community, but find one person that you are targeting, that you are making friends with, that you are communicating with, that you constantly are inviting to something. Find a reason to invite them. Oh, we're having lunch gathering. Come have lunch with me at church. Great. They come to church, they hear the word of God. Next time, oh, there's a baby dedication. Oh, yeah. Come. Let's go see how we do baby. There's a bar mitzvah. The young man is going to be blessed today. You should see this. It happens. Oh, and then we give gifts. Oh, You know, at our church, you never know the Sunday. One Sunday, you just take an offering and they hand it over to somebody. Say, eh? Anybody? Yes. In this Winnipeg? Yes. Come and see. They come and maybe it's not that Sunday. Maybe it's not the next Sunday, but it's one Sunday. Oh, wow. Never seen this before. Guess what they do? They go and start broadcasting it more than you can broadcast it. But you started with one person. Jesus started with 12 disciples. Did he not? Let me ask you this question. How many times do you think Jesus had an encounter with Peter before Peter became his disciple? One time? You think? No. In Luke 5, he followed him, but he had other encounters with him before Luke 5. Even his own brother invited him. But one day it caught. So you keep on inviting the same person. No, I'm not coming. No, I'm not coming. One day they will say yes. It's your target because you are praying, you're praying, you are praying, you're persevering, and you're saying, hey, devil, you're not going to take my friend. Not this one. Not this one. This one must be released. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It is pushing back at the enemy and what he's trying to do in our world. Let me wrap up. Let's read 1 Thessalonians. I know I'm keeping you longer than I intend to. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Beginning to read from verse 13. But I will not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep or dead. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And guess what? Paul was very, very, very present in his mind, thinking that Jesus may just come in his day and his time. So he was including himself in it. But these times and the seasons are in the hands of the Father. Amen? Nobody knows when it's going to happen. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Jesus is coming. No matter what it is that you are going through, Jesus is coming. And he may come anytime now. He may come right in the midst of this trouble I'm going through, this persecution, this affliction. He may come now. Chapter 5. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Well, I guess and this time the thieves didn't announce themselves, but in some places the thief would announce to you and tell you, we are coming at such and such a time, be ready. Be ready. Because we're coming. We don't want to come there and you be empty-handed. But the truth is still the truth. The thief comes when you're not expecting. As a thief cometh. So cometh as a thief in the night, the Lord comes. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness. Praise the Lord. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day shall overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light. Amen? Ye are all the children of light. And light begat light. Praise the Lord. And the children of the day. What is the word of God saying? He is saying, listen, you're children of light, children of the day, therefore you shall not have darkness ever in your life. No dark days. Every day works out for my good. For I shall not eat out of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. I eat out of the tree of life. And the tree of life says good things. Prophesies good things over my life. And so it doesn't matter what I'm going through. You know, it is possible that it did hurt when Paul was going through all that stoning. It's quite possible. But it's quite also very possible that while all of that was happening, God had shielded him. I don't know how God keeps his people, but this I do know, God will keep his children. Remember, you are the children of light. Amen? And as children of light, you came from above. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of what? Faith and love. Ephesians says this breastplate is a breastplate of righteousness. And here, Paul defines for us himself what the breastplate of righteousness is. The breastplate of righteousness is the breastplate of faith and love. Faith and love. Try to say faith and love. Those two work together. Faith worketh by love. Praise God. And for an helmet, the hope of salvation. For God had not appointed us to wrath. God has not what? Appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 11. This is where we'll stop. Who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we shall live together with him. Amen. Amen. That's our blessed hope. Amen? Well, this message today is not just talking about this return of the Lord. It is talking about what we ought to do till he comes. He says, occupy, preach the gospel. Recognize that I'm sending you as sheep amongst wolves. Makes no sense. I remember many years ago, there was a serious civil unrest in the country of Kenya. People were being burnt. There was an election that had taken place. And the Lord spoke to me, says, I want you to go to Kenya. I said, what are you talking about? They're killing people over there. He says, go to Kenya. Huh? To do what? Go to Kenya and have a crusade. In the midst of all this crisis, people are running out. You are sending me in. Yeah. So I did. We had this mass crusade. The field where we were having the crusade had maybe 100 people in it. On the sides was a different community. One side of the field was a different tribe, and this side, another tribe. There were houses that were still smoking. But they won't come to the field because they didn't trust each other. But when the first day, our miracles are happening, and before you know it, they jumped the fence. They still stayed far away, but now we had hundreds of people over there, hundreds of people over here, and a handful of people here. By the third day, they were all together. Somebody shout hallelujah. That's what the power of the gospel can do. It was during that time that I got to meet the vice president of that nation and struck a strong relationship since. God sends people into dangerous situations sometimes, but the assurance is this: you'll be well covered. But I've been in situations that were dangerous, and God says, don't go. Stay away. Don't go. Why? There are people coming to kill you. So you must not be in that field today. And I stayed away. And sure enough, people got killed who tried to do the same stunt. And so what am I saying? I'm saying God, who sends you into a dangerous situation sometimes, will keep you in that dangerous situation in spite of it and will bring you out of it for a testament. If God ever allows something terrible to happen to you, he has a bigger purpose than you think. For when Nero was busy killing people in the arenas, more people were getting saved. And Rome was overrun by believers. God allowed somebody to die. But what is you? What are you? Paul says, that dying is gain. You say, Pastor, what are you saying? I'm saying, listen, stop being afraid of living the life of God. Stop being a chicken. Huh? Let's do this thing. It's the greatest fun, preaching the gospel. Doing what God has called us to do. This is our assignment. And we can take our communities by powering into that community the very glory of God and driving out demons. Let me conclude with this statement. Many years ago, we used to have storms that showed up, real serious blizzards that showed up Saturday and shut up the system in this city on Sunday. And, you know, we need the offering on Sundays. Praise God. It's good to come. People come and praise the Lord, but we need the offering too. That's the truth. Because no offering, no payment of bills. So here comes the devil, and he keeps on messing up. Monday through Friday, no problem. Saturday comes this storm. One time. But God, in the backyard, provides for us. We'll send one person with the offering that we should have had that week. We'll bring it. One time was such, was an amazing experience. There was a lady, she came here to service, and when she came, the power of God hit her right here, and she was delivered of all kinds of demons. Just set free. So, what happens? This storm hits, and this lady, she doesn't normally attend the church. God spoke to her, send the check. So I think she had some inheritance. Send the tithe for that inheritance. to the church. So she brought the tithe and dropped it. On Monday, we opened our mailbox, and there's this big fat check. Covered all of the offerings that we needed. The Lord says, what are you doing? I said, what am I doing? It's a storm. He said, do you know how to stop storms? Said, yeah. So the next time they said a storm was coming, I said, get out of here. You are not coming here, and don't you ever dare again to stop his service and mess things up. Get out! So the storm left here and went and dumped itself in Brandon. And at that time, Henry was pastoring in Brandon. He said, oh, we had a bad storm. I said, don't you know how to pray? What's the point of that? We're going to drive some devils out of town. This is a different city. We refuse the devil any access to our city. Rise with me. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for your word. And Lord, oh God, wherever it is that this voice has been heard this very moment, I am declaring that sons and daughters be raised up, oh God, by your spirit, oh God, to eradicate the forces of darkness, to push back and to capture their communities for Jesus. For you are Lord, sovereign, King of kings and Lord of lords. You reign supreme. And Father, we are not going to let one turf out to the enemy. Lord, oh God, we refuse access to the devil and his cohorts. We say, oh God, that the fire of your presence, oh God, will begin to consume all consumables even now. That, Lord, oh God, that you shake everything that needs to be shaken. And Lord, oh God, in Jesus' name, that demonic forces will begin to flee from our communities, that lives be transformed. Let the light of your glory now shine brightly. And Lord, oh God, let the spiritual rodents run out in Jesus' name. Father, oh God, we fumigate our communities by the power of your spirit, and we say, Satan, you do not have any rights over the lives of the people of our communities. You do not have rights in our city. You do not have any rights in our homes. You pack your filthy load and be gone from the house of the people of God. Be gone from their minds in the name of Jesus Christ. We declare now that every meth lab in our city begin to be exposed, and Lord, oh God, in Jesus' name, that every presence of corruption be shut down in the name of Jesus, in the mighty name of Jesus. Fire of the living God fall upon the drug houses, the houses of prostitution, wherever the people are being corrupted. We declare in the name of Jesus that the angels of the living God join with us as we speak now. We declare in Jesus' name, the people need to be saved. They must be delivered. Jesus died for them, and Satan, let them go. Let the people of God go. Let them go now. 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 In Jesus' mighty name. Father, we call for the harvesters, oh God, to come into the harvest field. Lord, oh God, we bring, oh God, the harvest, and we thank you, Lord, for the barns, for storage. We thank you, God, for distribution centers. We thank you, Lord, for what you are doing. Oh, mighty God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, help us now. Do our assignment. Empower us by giving first and foremost, oh God, a baptism in the Holy Ghost. More than the feeling that took place on the day of Pentecost. You said, you shall be baptized. Father, we want the baptism. So, Lord, oh God, we can have the power to reach your God locally and globally and everywhere in between, from here to there, in the name of Jesus. No grounds released to the devil. Father, oh God, we call forth your glorious name. We speak it. And we say, in the mighty name of Jesus, that wherever we are, that place will be a sickness-free place. That place, oh God, will be a poverty-free place. That place, oh God, will be a confusion-free place. That place will be free, oh God, from witchcraft and occultic practices. In the name of Jesus, Oh, we are light, and where light is, darkness cannot be. Ignite us. Father, turn us on, every one of us. Turn us on, shining brightly. Oh, yes, we are the people of the day. Hallelujah. When we come, the night ceases. Ikaladadaba shakaya. Rombo robokete reba sakaye. Masakalada ramboto robokaye. In the name of Jesus, a people that are fruitful, a people that are multiplying, a people, God, that are dominating. In the name of Jesus, in every sphere, oh God, of life. We dominate by the power and the authority of your everlasting word. Our homes are secure. Our finances secure. All things in our lives are secure. Oh God, for in the name of Jesus, we stand a people that cannot be stopped. Blessed be the name of the living God. Hallelujah. 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 God is good. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Let those who are going to help serve in communion please take their places speedily. This time we're going to turn off from those that are listening online. We speak the blessings of God over you. We encourage you to continue steadfastly in the walk of faith. And please, child of God, take your rightful place. Be a gospeler, not a gossiper. Be one who teaches and disciples communities. Take your rightful stand. Pick a place that you feel God has called you to and continue steadfastly fulfilling the mandate of the Lord. God bless you. We love you and honor God with your giving. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Love you and good night.